He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
We made it through January. Can you believe it?
Hallelujah. January is some kind of month. I don't know. It's kind of an anticlimax after all the holidays and the company and the food fair and the drinking and the party, and then it's a letdown. But not for everybody, but, you know, I had a wonderful holiday season, so, yeah, thank goodness it's over and on to February, which is Valentine's, lots of red.
That's right, and January to me is kind of like a bubble that bursts and then reality sets in.
Yes.
And we tend to not want to think about reality, and when it comes at us, whether we like it or not, it bites us, and we can get upset and experience all kinds of strange emotions. That's why we promote a lifestyle that is mild and even and steady, and there's no big ups and no crashes either.
Exactly. So you have to like your reality. I think that's really basically what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And through exercise and diet and meditation and yoga and all that good stuff, you can have an even-keeled lifestyle. But you got to work at it. You got to make that happen for yourself, because there's a lot of other people around you that will create a lot of drama. You got to get
right.
rid of those people.
No doubt. Reality is chi, and chi is life. So reality is life. Okay. And so let's just take it on. So in the spirit of taking on reality, what's cooking?
What's cooking is red fruit crumble. Yummy, yummy, yummy. The color red has long been associated with strength, health, and passion. And that's what this month is all about. February is Heart Month, Valentine's.
Isn't that your favorite color, red?
Yes, it is, actually. Red is my favorite color. And what does that say? These elements are necessary components for a well-rounded person. Hello. As passion radiates through the colors of red, be sure to choose foods with vivacious red hue, as they'll help you keep healthy, strong, and beautiful. And there you have that. Red fruits are loaded with beneficial plant compounds called phytochemicals that can preserve your health in many ways. Phytochemicals can keep your brain agile as you age, and we need lots of that as we age, guard against heart disease and cancer, ease arthritis and ward off urinary tract infections and ulcers. So there you have it. And the red is also got a pigment called lycopene. And so that's an antioxidant that helps neutralize uncontrolled free radical activity in the body. So try as much as you can in your diet to get red, and not just from fruit, but other red vegetables as well. So this red fruit crumble is very, very, very simple. And all you need are some cherries and a mixture of red berries, including strawberries, raspberries, and huckleberries. However, I'm just doing this as a Valentine February crumble, but you can mix apples and raisins and walnuts. You can do peaches. You can do any fruit in this crumble. So I'm just concentrating on the red fruits. This recipe is on our CHI website under articles, under recipes. You want to preheat the oven, and in a nice big Pyrex dish, you want to have the filling. So the filling is between 6 and 8 cups of fresh or frozen cherries, strawberries, raspberries, huckleberries, any red fruit, 1/2 cup of freshly squeezed orange juice or water, filtered water, and 1 cup of unpasteurized honey. Now what you do is you lay it all flat, all these berries, on the Pyrex dish, and then you put in the orange juice and just sprinkle on the honey. Now for the crumble, in a different bowl, you've got 1.5 cups of buckwheat flour, 1.5 cups of wild oats, 1 cup of ghee or melted unsalted butter or coconut oil. I've been using coconut oil more and more in our diet, and 2 cups of coconut palm sugar. I know that might sound like a lot, but coconut sugar is not that sweet. A spoon of cinnamon and 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Mix those all together, and it should come out a little sticky. And use your hands and get your love and the love of the hands. Mix it all together. And then you want to pour that crumble evenly, sprinkle it on over the top of the fruit mixture. And then what you want to do is put it into the oven. And what I like to do is bake it for about 30 to 40 minutes. But when I start to smell it in the kitchen, then I know it's starting to get ready. You take it out of the oven and you let it stand for a little while, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, because it's really piping hot. Then you can just have it plain, or you can put some beautiful, fresh, high-fat whipped cream on top of it. And what I do with my whipping cream is I add a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of vanilla extract, and I whip it up, and it just makes a beautiful dessert. You can freeze the leftovers if you want and have it any time that you have a sweet tooth. And it's not sweet at all. And it's stabilizing. The buckwheat is gluten-free. The coconut sugar is low glycemic. And all in all, it makes for a really yummy, warming dessert, doesn't it, dear?
Yes. I find that as I'm moving through time and space, that I'm becoming more sensitive, not less. I think this is a good thing, to the taste sensation of sweet. In other words, when I was younger and was corrupted by exposure to concentrated sugar versus the evolution moving away from refined processed dead foods and all of the concentrated gunk that people assume is food, I find that I want to be satisfied with less, and that I don't crave the super intense sugar. I like a more of a full-bodied kind of flavor. Your crumbles do that for me, especially like with the whipped cream, because I hate sweetened whipped cream. I won't even touch it. I like unsweetened, just straight whipped cream. You know, it's like a better sensation. I don't know, maybe it's an appreciation for the natural food.
Well, I think the buckwheat is a bit sweet on its own as well, and it's very dense, so it's going to be darker. When you bake it, it comes out a little darker than it would if it was whole wheat. But I like the buckwheat. I mean, it's nice to make waffles out of buckwheat as well, and they're very hearty and satisfying and tasty.
Well, as you age, typically, if you're eating a lot of refined sugars and even unrefined sugars, if you just eat a lot of concentrated carbohydrates, we become more and more insulin resistant. And so it takes more of everything inside of us to create the same amount of energy that we once could with a lot less. And even our sensations, our perception, everything is corrupted and altered. So it's really important to wind yourself down from concentrated sweets and sugars.
And then you won't crave them as much. I find white sugar tastes artificial to me.
Yeah.
It just tastes so artificial.
And I think if you study it and see how much damage it causes to children and our entire species, that helps also unwind yourself from the addiction that most of us have. Because most of us, like when you're a little baby, like with Riley and Veronica in mind, they're 2 and 5 months, 6 months, they have no way to guide themselves in the maze of nutrition. They're just being exposed to whatever their parents expose them to, right?
Exactly. And then the parents wonder why the kids are acting up and going squirrely, you know? And then they put them on medication. It's like, just put them on a proper diet. Anyway, that's another song and dance. So try the crumble, the red fruit crumble. It's delicious, and it's a wonderful, everybody loves it. Anybody I've ever made it for just absolutely loves it.
Yeah, and if you're like me, you need to have that whipped cream, otherwise it ain't the same.
Yeah, you like the whipped cream. I don't need the whipped cream on it, but you do. It's like when you have your veggies, you like to have your dip with it. I can just eat them raw, but I like the dips as well because they're healthy. Nonetheless, there you have it, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Very cool. Well, I hope you have a nice Valentine's Day, honey.
Well, I hope, hint, 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 hint.
Okay, so moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Nick Uguala. Ooh, Nick, what a guy. Just to mention a few, he's a gold medal wrestler, he's a village chief in Nigeria, and the author of his brand new book called Whatever It Takes. And that's just to mention a few of his credentials. as well as him being a fantastic motivational speaker. He really got me going when he went on a binge in the interview, and I was like, whoa, he's so motivational. We met Nick at Spartacus Gym in Vancouver many, many years ago, and I always remember him being such a good sportsman, friendly, positive, and a wonderful role model, and always consistent every time he walked into that gym.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of guy that you kind of look up to and want to know and have as a friend. And, you know, life proves itself out. And human behavior can be very erratic. And in some people, they're reliably unreliable.
Yes.
It's almost like they're consistently inconsistent. So he's consistent in his mannerism, but also a great athlete. I love that sportsmanship element in sport. That is more important to me than whether you win or lose, and he's got it. And, of course, when the gold medal champion is also a great sportsman, because I think that if you look at sport worldwide and look at its history, you'll find that the single greatest athletes that ever existed were always the greatest sportsman.
Right. Now, one of his mottos is living your dreams, and your life is important and a gift, and that's what he teaches his children, which is a wonderful way to look at life, because I've seen people throughout my life that don't like their life. They hate life. They wish they were never born, and I go, what? Oh, you were born. You know, nobody was ever asked to be born, but you were born. And make something out of your life. Live your dreams. And he was saying something about how people think, you know, that's kind of wishy-washy, living your dreams. But you know what? What else is there? You know, live your dreams and think big. And he's got a company called You Go Fit. It's fitness innovation. And he teaches people how to maintain their life. You're not old, he says. You've just stopped living. You've stopped maintaining your life and your health and your mental, physical, emotional. And he wants you to feel good in your own skin. And this is what he teaches at You Go Fit. Continue to train. Don't lose what you had. And if you have the mental edge, then you must have the physical edge as well. Right?
Yep.
So it's not just about being physically fit. You have to have it mentally. But it's hard to be physically fit if you don't have it upstairs.
Well, what drives us to do what we need to do?
Exactly, what you think about.
Yes, and right. So the body is directed by the mind. So what's in the mind has to do with your behavior. And, of course, there's this idea that there's a certain component of my behavior that I can't control, or so I think. You see, there's that thought again. I think that I can't control myself, so therefore I've convinced myself that I can't control myself. And it all goes back to thought. So how do we change our thoughts? And this is why I love Ayn Rand, because she says you're an individual, and you're virtuous, and you're a free agent, and you're autonomous, and you're real, and you're alive, and life is precious. So understand who and what you are. And she got a lot of what she promotes from Aristotle. You know, A is A. Who are you? Where are you? What are you doing? You know, this is what we're all about. The point of staying well is that, well, essentially, it's a means to an end so that you can achieve the things that really turn you on and will make you happy.
Well, also, he has a youth enrichment system, which he supports the youth. He's a big believer in that. He grew up in a foster system. He said there's a stigma attached to being brought up in the foster system, which has no validity. He said it's not always the kids' fault that they're in the foster system. They're not just bad kids that run away and are on drugs and criminals. Sometimes they take the children out of the home because it's not safe. So teaching the youth the power of self-esteem, empowerment, basically a youth manual. So it does start in the children.
Well, can you imagine having a mean, cruel father, and it's so hard for kids.
Or mother and father.
Right, but in his situation, I think that his father took them to Canada, and he was kind of like not the ideal father. So can you imagine being a kid? Because we're, by nature, we want to love our parents. We want to love our father, and you've got this dad who's just a complete jerk, and he's mean and he's cruel, and this is very common. And so we fight within ourselves. We struggle within ourselves because the world, society, and different religions say you've got to respect your father and obey your father, which in many cases you and I both agree that that's a crock. You don't listen to and obey someone who's mean and cruel and mistreats you and abuses you. So he's smart enough, he's got enough power within himself to remove himself and go to what would be considered not an ideal situation, go to a foster home.
Right.
But that's better than the living hell that he's experiencing
right.
with his actual biological father.
Right.
And then look what comes from that. You can see, though, that the power in him originally is still with him as he continues on now and becomes a great athlete and has his own business. And he's on fire, right? He's on fire and he's got kids now and he's just helping other people.
Well, the title of his new book, Whatever It Takes, came from one of his coaches who said this to him when he was losing and injured during a competitive match. He did not want to go on. He was done. And the coach banged him on the chest and said, do whatever it takes, do whatever it takes, do whatever it takes. And that took over him. And, well, at the end of the story is he won the match.
Yes, and in our conversation in the interview, I was very happy to hear him say, obviously, I don't mean that you'll hurt somebody
right.
by saying, do whatever it takes.
Yes, I mean,
so there's that rule that comes in, that exception, right? No harm principle overrides everything. But he also explained that you don't have to hurt people to do whatever it takes, right?
Well,
to achieve your goal.
Well, it doesn't matter how bad your situation is in life, he says. If you decide to do whatever it takes to make it happen, do it, as long as it is within good morals. You know, like I said, you're not going to go and beat somebody up or shoot them because you get what you want. You're going to do whatever it takes.
And this is why the greatest athletes in the entire history of the world have always been the ones that are centered on morality. Like, we can see the records, we can see the great things that athletes have done, but the ones that really stand out are noble, they're honorable men, they're charitable. There's something about those guys that's better than the same athlete, the companion, maybe even ran faster, but who's a real jerk-off.
Yeah.
Or maybe arrogant. They don't qualify. They don't get the same rating or position in society.
Cheaters.
That the great guy has by doing it right all the way through, and he holds his head up. He didn't take the drugs. He didn't ruin himself. He didn't ruin other people. He didn't cheat, right?
Yes. And you know the way I operate. Being in the dance industry for so many years, we look in January, we did our quarters, and we look through the whole year, and what are we going to do in each quarter? And I knew what my year goal was. So I was brought up that way, so I'm very goal-orientated. And what's very interesting is hearing him say, it's difficult to activate if you have no goals. Now, I know there's a lot of people walking around there that have no goals in their life. Even if it's a day-to-day goal, or a week goal, or a month goal, he says, fear stands in the way of living your dreams. So there's a lot of people who are scared. They think, oh, what would somebody think of me if I did this? I mean, they might think I'm stupid or might think that there's no way I could possibly achieve it. And if there are people like that in your life, get away from them. Get away from those people. Every dream or goal that you have should be a plausible goal, of course. I mean, even if you want to go to the moon, even today, that's a possibility. Be around people that support your dreams and your goals. Not unrealistically, but who promote and support you. The fear is false evidence appearing real. So we make it up in our own head.
Yes, and there's a tie-in, a connection between fear and low self-esteem and low self-worth. And if you give something to somebody, just give it to them for nothing. There's actually no self-esteem created in
yes.
them. They have to earn it themselves. They have to bust their ass. They have to bend over. They have to move and grind. And then when they achieve that goal, whatever it is, however great or little, self-esteem starts to build up inside of them because they say, wow, I did this, and I have what it takes. And then they get a larger vision, and that's how it works. You start with climbing the ladder one rung at a time.
Right. So those of you who are listening to SNU, I know that you're going to hear his very powerful motivational talk that he gives. And basically he's talking about take the first step. How do you start something? Well, you got to start somewhere by taking the first step. How do you get up that big flight of stairs? You got to take the first step and keep moving up and up and up. So he is such a wonderful motivational speaker. Check out his website. Get his book. He's a great man. And we know him personally. And I just wanted to say thank you, Nick Uguala.
Right on. Good stuff. So moving on to our final element of discussion. What is your hot topic today?
My hot topic is A fish stinks from the head down. This is an excerpt from the CSNA Module 4 Dietary Supplement Review, page 28. So I'm just going to read this, and this is just about the supplement review, which is about the quality of the supplements. Commitment to quality is really a promise, a personal guarantee from the head honcho, the CEO or president. So if you ever have a recurring problem with quality, remember, a fish stinks from the head down. Don't blame the sales reps, the accountant, the people wearing the masks, producing the powders, capsules, or shipping, receiving department. Point the finger at the man or woman in charge. They're ultimately responsible for the decisions that make product quality. That's the excerpt. But what I'm talking about is not necessarily about product. I'm talking about service. When I go out and the service that I get in a restaurant, at a lawyer's office, at the accountant's, at the gym, wherever I go, I'm always looking about the quality of service. How about you?
Yeah, well, I think the rule is that service sucks. And the exception is that service is fantastic.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful experience regarding service, and that, unfortunately, is not the rule. It's the exception. And you and I have been around the block. We've been around the planet. This is not just a Canadian element. This is not just an American, Aussie. It's worldwide. You can go to any place in the world and have a wonderful experience regarding how you're treated and how people talk to you and the things that occur sort of spontaneously in the process.
Well, I think we have talked about this many, many, many times. And being in the dance industry, it's all about service and recognition. And people walk in and we, hi, how are you? Welcome to my world. But what's interesting is just last weekend, it was the Super Bowl Sunday, I was chatting with this elderly gentleman. I guess he'd been retired, and he went back to work because he wanted something to do. He's a computer genius, plus he's also a photographer, and he works in the electronic department of a major superstore. Nonetheless, he was talking about service, and he says, right now in my life, I don't do it for the money. I do it because I want to genuinely meet people, and I enjoy helping them and getting the biggest bang for their buck. He says, but the other people I'm working around is the workers. They're always complaining about this and that and the other thing, and it's just a job to them. They don't see a future doing what they're doing. Now, I think that's what a lot of the problem is people get into a job because it's just a job, and it's just a means to an end. They don't really care, and they are not the ones paying the bills and the overhead. So they couldn't care less whether that customer came back or not. And, you know, it really does show.
Yes, but now we're getting back to the analogy of the fish when its head stinks. Who hired these people? They don't own the company. So who hired them? Who keeps them there? Who allows them to keep behaving in this manner? One time I saw a receptionist answer the phone and literally destroy a customer with their own personality. And then I let the CEO of the company know because she was destroying business.
Yes.
They fired her.
Yeah.
They didn't know this. But they weren't keeping tabs. You see, this is what happens. The CEO, the president, gets so far away from everyday activities that they lose touch with the very thing that they built, and it begins to degenerate. It begins to take a slide down, and then this is how companies rise and fall.
This is what Brian Tracy said many years ago. We listened to one of his audio tapes in those days. That's going way back in the 80s. Brian Tracy said, management by walking around. Walk around and find out what's going on in your business. Now, if you're a gym owner, walk around. Find out how your receptionist is talking to people on the telephone. Find out how the personal trainers are treating their people. Now, I've been walking in a gym, and I've been doing something, and I'm right next to somebody who's personal training someone, and they just bleeding ignore me. And that personal trainer should go, hi, how are you today? And make their client feel comfortable, because that client feels a little nervous and intimidated. And usually that client is somebody who's a little frumpy, dumpy, and lumpy. Okay, let's get real here, okay? And there I am doing my workout. And that personal trainer should make them feel comfortable by doing introductions. Now, I don't mean wasting time because that client is paying money. But it is. The gym is a social place as well. not saying that you're just going to be a socializing, just get in there, do your job and leave. But you know, what's funny is the fact that usually people who work out in the gym work out at the same time all the time.
Pretty much.
So you're pretty much, right?
Yep.
I'd say 90%. You're working out at the same time all the time. So you're going to see the same people all the time. Now, I've seen the same people at the gym, and they just snub me like I don't even exist. And I just want to, you know, and they just ignore me like they think they're better than me. And I'm going, you know, like, can't you even smile at me? You know what I mean? Like, we've been going to the same gym for 1 year now, and you just blow me off like I'm a piece of poo. But it's important, but it's not that important. It's just being congenial and good sportsman, right? And I'm talking about everything. There's a difference between a customer, a client. I mean, you treat them all the same. Like a lawyer, you hire a lawyer, right? Now that lawyer is servicing me, right? They're giving me a service. So they better be nice to me. That I fired a lawyer once because they were mean to me. And I thought, I'm paying you.
Well, you set the standards.
Yeah, and I just thought, when my friend said, you can fire that lawyer, you know. And I said, I can fire a lawyer? Oh, I like the idea of that. Even if you have to pay a little more, if you're getting service and you're feeling like I'm paying you, but I'm getting more back than I'm paying, I like that feeling. I like feeling good, like I'm appreciated as a customer or a client. And that's basically what it is, being appreciated.
Of course, because humans aren't robots. We have emotions.
Yeah.
We seek affection and companionship. And that.
Without our CSNA students, Corey, we wouldn't have a school.
No, but without the school, there would be no CSNA students either.
Yeah, exactly.
So it works both ways. So that's why the Native people, they praised life and they had this great and deep sense of appreciation for the animal that they ate. And they weren't better than the animal. You know, it's like the circle of life. Do you remember when the king lion took the little one out and said, you know, yes, we eat the antelope, but then we die and become the soil and the grass grows from us and then they eat the grass. It's all connected, right?
It's all connected.
So when you're working with people, around people, or servicing, I think getting back to the hot topic concept, let's imagine walking into, a big factory or some front end of a manufacturing facility, and then when you walk in on the wall, there's this great big fish turned upside down. It's hanging vertically. And so the head of the fish is at the top and you see the tail at the bottom. Well, I think that we should take a photograph of the CEO of the company and put his head right beside on the wall, the head of the fish. You know, and then how this works is that inside the brain of the fish is where the fatty acids are. And they're the most sensitive to oxidation. They peroxidize. They're fragile. So when an actual fish, if you catch it and put it out and just leave it there, it will start to rot first inside its brain because that's where the fragile fatty acids are. So a fish rots from the head down means that the company, the concept, the action, the behavior is all connected ultimately upstream to the top of the ladder because that's where everything comes down with human activity. Unlike evolution, which works from the bottom up, humans work from the top down.
Well, what's interesting is, like, a fish thinks from the head down. You've got your CEO or your president or your the manager, the person who's running the company, or the everyday manager, let's say in a restaurant, for example. Now, this manager has a lot of pressure on them. They have to meet their goals. They have the overhead to pay. They got rent to pay. Like, they're stressed out. So you never know what you're going to get. They can be really miserable. So they're miserable to their staff. Well, how's the staff going to feel? They're going to be miserable to the customer. Now, I was trained that you leave your problems at the bottom of the stairs, and like that CEO or manager should come in, even though he's got stress and pressure, come in being high energy and give that high energy high five to his staff, and that staff will treat their customers that way. And it's like a ripple effect. Now, you might have the odd staff member who's just a dumbass, right? So you get rid of them. Well, one bad apple, you know, can spoil the whole bunch, right?
Yes, and also we still have to look at the individual and not discount individual responsibility. So, yes, we can ultimately blame the company's status on the guy that controls it from the head down, but individually, we are still players in the game. And so if you are just putting in time and not giving your best, well, that we're not going to blame on the CEO.
No.
We're going to hold you personally responsible with your behavior.
That CEO hired that person.
Right.
Or
to get rid of them if you can't meet the standard.
Exactly.
However, that individual they're getting rid of has the capacity, even if they're not taught properly, to rise up to their own occasion and be their best. And you know what? That is the guy that is going to sail across the sea and discover the new countries.
And there you have it. There you have it, our hot topic.
Good stuff. Oh, I like to end that way. Okay, so service sells, and what is your final word?
My final word is by Charles M. Schultz. All you need is love, but a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt.